As you can see, Don is out of town, and I'm for the first time I'm doing the an adult class. I've taught obviously in the back for several years and preached, but this is a new monster here. So beware of if you have any other anything that you want to participate in, any comments, just obviously raise your hand. When I preach a sermon, I know 7 to 8 minutes per page, but this is not a sermon long enough to go 40 minutes. So I welcome your participation, but I want to finish this or try to get through this. But before we get started, I'll lead us in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this Sunday morning that you've allowed us to be together. We're thankful for the sunshine. We're thankful for the power that we can see in the nature and how powerful you are. We're thankful for this hour of study that we have. We pray that you will not only be with us out here in the adult class, but the children, the teenagers, and each of the teachers. We pray that each one of us would learn from your will, that we, even if we don't participate outwardly and publicly, that we would participate with our hearts. Help us to understand that you're gospel, that the Bible is a well that never runs empty, that never runs dry, and that we can always learn something from it. And we're thankful for that. We ask that you be with those that are sick. We know that there are those that you know what they need in their life, the health that they need. We pray that you will be with them. We're thankful for those that have recovered from recent surgeries, and we pray that you would help them in their rehabilitation. Be with those that are struggling. We know it all. At times we all struggle, and we ask that you encourage those that are struggling with their faith. Help us to use us as a tool and help us to help them as we all work together to get to heaven. We're so thankful for Jesus. We know that it was through his death and resurrection that it's possible to get to heaven, and we pray that we would live every day for him. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so today I want to talk about something very uncomfortable. You're like, what? The elders are like, what are we talking about? Something, it doesn't have to be uncomfortable, but we kind of make it that way, I'd say. If I was to say to you, what makes you uncomfortable? What makes you step out, as a Christian, what makes you step out of your comfort zone? What do you think it would be? Any suggestions? Something's going to take you out of your comfort zone, but yet you know in the back of your heart, I really need to be involved in this. What would it be?
Evangelizing.
What?
Evangelizing.
Evangelizing. You are almost exactly right. And I say almost exactly right because I don't want to talk about just personal evangelism as a whole. At the end of the class, hopefully there's some tools that we can use to just invite a person to services. If you just invite a person, we have the ability to do that. Just get into conversations in which we say, hey, would you like to come to services with me? Or, hey, what church do you go to? Would you like to come here with me? Maybe there's something interesting here. If we can get to that point, we're still doing what the scripture says, which is evangelizing or sowing the seed. At very least, we're sowing the seed. And, you know, there's introverts, there's extroverts. I happen to be an extrovert. I wouldn't have the introverts raise their hand because you wouldn't. And that's, right? The world's full of these people, extroverts, introverts. But so is the church. There's just different types of people. We have different abilities, but we can use each one of those little abilities to sow the seed and to get better on. So this is almost like a tutorial. I don't know how fast I need to go on this. I might make it a two-parter. I think Steve's going to be gone in a couple weeks or so. And maybe I can make a two-part here, but I want to make this like a tutorial almost. And not that I'm an expert, not at all. And this is not 100% proof on how to get someone to come to services with you or to talk about spiritual things. But YouTube is a great tool. if you even just Google search or look on YouTube, how to start a conversation with someone, how to engage in a conversation, be a good conversationalist, how to keep people engaged. Well, mostly what's going to pop up is how to get a young guy to talk to a young girl. We live in that age where people don't, they're not socializing as much. So a lot of what will pop up is how to get a young guy, how to talk to a girl, or how to approach a girl. You know, those, they're about the same thing. So I guess if you're single, you're going to get a BOGO today. You're going to get buy one, get one here. You'll learn possibly how to invite someone to services and get a date, I guess. I don't know. So if we're starting a conversation, how do we set a good impression right away? So if I walk in to a room, what's one of the first things we can do?
Smile.
Exactly. Can I have two people that are willing to vote, willing to read for me? Two people? And I'll just give you the verse. Matt, can you take Proverbs 17:22? I need another one. Anybody else? Another problem? Oh, Mark. Proverbs, you didn't raise your hand. You must be an introvert. You didn't raise your hand. Proverbs 15:13. Okay, so while you guys are looking at those verses, psych, it's called psychcentral.com. Okay, so there's a site for everything. Psychcentral.com says that a smile signals to others that you are friendly, likable, and not a threat. And that's what we need to be. If we're going to be people that try to engage in conversations with others, especially on a spiritual level, we don't need to be a threat. We need to be likable. You know, the gospel is not always going to be liked by people, but there's a way to present it. So, Mark, if you'd read the Proverbs 17:22 for me, please. I want Mark to read first. Proverbs 17:22? Oh, okay. Well, then who? Okay. I'm sorry. Proverbs 17:22. Okay, not everybody's going to have a good day. Crushed spirit dries up the bones. We understand that. But overall, if your life is going somewhat normal, if your life is pretty good, as Christians, it should be pretty good. Even on bad days, we have a certain hope. What does it say? A joyful heart is good medicine. Matt, read the next one, please. Proverbs 15:13. The light of the eyes, you said? How's that translation? Okay, some of those translations are, I believe, say, is that the ESV? Okay, I'm pretty sure some of those talk about, it shows up on the face. So it's the light of the eyes. A smile comes from a cheerful heart. So we can see that. So the first thing someone's going to notice when you walk into a room, if you're a cheerful person, they're going to know how your day is going. And as I said, this doesn't mean that there's never going to be anything wrong in your life. But overall, as Christians, we have this hope. Listen, let's see. Jesus said that he had joy in John 15 and 11. He was telling his disciples, he says, that my joy may be in you. If you keep my commandments, the joy of Jesus will be in you. His joy will be in you if we keep his commandments. So Jesus could be at times a cheerful person. The whole book of Philippians, what's the book of Philippians about? You guys know what it's kind of subtitled? The letter of joy. Philippians, Paul wrote so many times about the joy that they were giving him, the joy that you can have. So this is something that when you walk, just starting a conversation, people just notice right off the bat. You set a good impression just by a smile. Just by a smile. Okay, number two, what do you think the second thing is? Let's look at it from the standpoint of, okay, a guy walks in a room and a girl notices. What does she notice about him? Something that starts with a C. Maybe if a guy walks in and he's just looking around, maybe, I don't know, maybe you're not getting confidence. He's got confidence. Shouldn't we have confidence as Christians? They say the most noticeable thing, the most attractive thing about another person is the fact that they show their confidence. Not arrogance, but there's a confidence that we can have. Confidence is an attractive quality. In a sense, it's a very likable quality. But not arrogance. Arrogance puts down the interest. Your confidence, it puts down the interest of others. Yeah, you're confident in something, but it's a little bit more interesting than everybody else. You get this vibe of superiority. Let's see here. Where am I at? There's conceit involved, that others are beneath you. We're not trying to be arrogant, but we do want to have confidence as Christians. If we're confident about something, and we're talking with people, don't you think that's going to come up? If there's a hobby, If there is a hobby, if you're into sports, I'm trying to think. How many like being grandparents? Yeah, there we go. Do you ever talk about your kids, your grandchildren? There's something, you have confidence in your grandchildren. There's something that you like. You talk about your the different grandchildren that you have. You might have it on your phone. If we're confident in something, people are going to know that it's a part of our lives. Wouldn't you agree? So whatever it is, sometimes it's a hobby or whatnot. You might not talk about it like crazy, but it's a part of our life. What is something at least three times a week that we should have, that should show that it's a major part of our life? Not necessarily a hobby, but what do you say? Worship. We show up to worship at least three times a week. So people can see that we have confidence if all we do is just mention, hey, I go to services or here, or they see that you're going. It's something that you're confident about. So that can also come up in our conversation. Let me get down to here. I'm using this iPad. Paper did not print out. And so now I'm using this thing, and it's kind of throwing me off here. So we're going to mention in our conversation, are you proud to be a Christian? Yes, thank you. I thought people would say, oh, you can't be proud. The Bible says don't be proud. How many definitions? Someone real quick look up Google proud for me. Can someone, one of you gentlemen or someone, Google definition of proud. But there's different types of being proud, right? We can be, let's see here. If anyone has that, there's a proud in which you're too proud, obviously. You're being arrogant. But the first definition of being, there's actually three definitions of proud. But the first definition of proud is one in which you are pleased to be associated with. So we should be proud to be Christians, not in an arrogant way, not that we've earned our salvation, but we should be very pleased to be associated with Christ. And those things are going to come out just naturally in our conversations. Romans, King James Version, I'm not a huge fan of the King James Version, but my favorite verse is Romans 1 and verse 15. Who has King James? Anybody have King James? Anybody that can read? Ethan, read Romans 1 and verse 15, please. Okay, so that's King James, not New King James?
King James.
That's King James. Oh, well, then maybe it's not the King James. One of them, the King... Eager, okay. I thought the King James said, as much as in me is. It does not say that, as much as in me is. The reason I love that is because you just think of this confidence that Paul has. He goes, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Who doesn't want to see a person that... Ladies, if your husband or boyfriend said, I love that woman with as much as in me is, you're like, wow, like that. Like, that guy likes me. Who doesn't want to be loved like that? Romans 1, read the next verse. What does it say? He says, For I'm not
ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
As much as was in Paul, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. This is not about you and me. This is not the power within us. All we're doing is throwing some seed. The power is within God. We need to have confidence. Paul had confidence. Jesus told the woman at the well, when she said that the Messiah is coming, what did he say? Do you know what he said? And she said, well, the Messiah's coming. He said, I'm him. Why did he say I'm him? Pretty obvious. Because he was him. We are a part of Christ. What does Galatians 3:27 say? Dad, you know that one off heart? You should. Those that have been baptized into Christ have also
have put on Christ.
And that is kind of, it's almost a sense of putting on a coat. Like you're putting on this thing, like you're putting on a coat. We've put on Christ. What does 1 Peter 3:21 say? Baptism doth now also now save us. What? It's not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but answer of of a good conscience towards God. Look at the confidence there. Paul was ready to preach the gospel. Jesus obviously understood he was the Messiah. We have been baptized into Christ. Our conscience should be clean. We should have confidence. And that's an underlying thing. Not that we're going to walk into the room and just start telling people, I'm a Christian. I remember Todd telling me, back when you could go to Parasons, remember Parasons? He said they went after services one time, and there was a group of people at a table, and they said prayer, which we'll say prayer. Sometimes I call it PYOP, pray your own prayer. Sometimes you pray your own prayer, but sometimes you're with people and you say a prayer, and they said the prayer, these people, and right then at the end of it, when they said amen, they said, we're Christians. And it's like, really? Like, yes, okay. We should be happy that we're Christians, but you don't just throw that out there like you're better than everyone else. So this is not arrogance. This is a confidence that we have. All that being said, when we're talking in conversations with people, you're going to mention services. I can't go, well, actually, it was Wednesday after services. That might come up. Or, oh, you know what? I know someone, yeah, that happened to one of my friends from church. Yeah, you wouldn't believe. You start mentioning that enough, what's going to happen? You start saying enough, one of my friends from church, or, oh, yeah, me and my wife, we lived in Firestone Park, and it wasn't too far from where I go to church. You start saying that enough, what's someone going to start wondering? Where do you go? Well, then there's a question. Now you can't dodge it. Now they've just put it out there for you, right? Do you know how many times I've mentioned, like, on my route? And listen, I'm probably not one to teach this class, but because I see more people than most of you do in a day. I come in interaction with people just because of my job. I come in with interactions with people, and there's probably times when I've dropped the ball and I shouldn't have, but I can learn from those particular things. But then you get in conversations, and one of the things I've learned is if you mention just church a lot, if you mention worship service, or I've gone here, people start to see that, and they might even change their language around you, all these different things about that. One of the things I'll do is I'll feel like Eddie, people don't know this about Eddie, a lot of you, but back in the day, a long time ago, Eddie was a pretty good boxer, and he still knows about boxing, and he knows a lot of, like, boxers, pro boxers, guys that have been on TV. So when we're talking about things, maybe guys at work or whatever, hey, my buddy Eddie, yeah, he's a boxer, and he knows, you know, Sean Porter and all these different people. He knows those guys, really. You know, it opens it up. It opens up. Or he's an Alabama fan, or he's from West Virginia. A lot of you are from West Virginia. I'll say, oh, Wanda, I know people from Ravenswood, or I, you know, certain things. You know those particular things about people. It helps out, and then all of a sudden, you're talking about something about services, and the door can open up for you. The more we talk about services, more people are going to see that we're interested in certain things, and it allows us to do these. We don't just have to walk up to people and start hammering them with the gospel. That might just throw people off. But there's certain things that can allow a person to get engaged and show that you are that you're a Christian where you go. I will tell you right now, we need to start carrying the cards. Do you guys carry the cards? You know who the worst person is at carrying the cards? Me. I am the absolute worst at carrying those cards. And if I do, I probably have the ones that say they start at 10:45. Like, they're old. They're all beat up. And it's like, why didn't I carry my card? So I find myself writing down, it's brownstreetcoc.org. You know, you can get on there. Or here, it starts at 10:50, and I'll use one of the UPS info notices and write it out and give it. I'm horrible when it comes to carrying those cards. I need to get better at that. You hand out those cards. I know what my mom does, and ladies, if you feel comfortable doing that, she'll put her cell phone on there in her name. And if you feel comfortable giving your cell phone to someone, hey, listen, you get into a conversation, it's much easier when they ask, well, where do you go to services? Or, oh, right here. So you guys need to be on me. Ask me later in the week if I've carried my cards, because that's what I need to do. Wow, I might not get through some of this. Third thing. So we talked about smiling. Yeah, you got confidence. When you're what they call a good conversationalist, what do people love to talk about? They love to talk about. Some of the best conversations I've ever had are with people that let me talk about me. Like, I'm like, why do I like this? This person's great. Because they're letting me talk about me. And it's like they're sitting there listening. And even I have a habit of jumping in and when someone's talking, something comes to my mind, and I start to jump. They would even stop. It's like, this person's great. And then I realized, no, I need to be better at listening to people. Don't you think we need to be better at just listening? Because people love, they love to talk about themselves. I've said it before, no one cares how much you know until what? Until they know how much you care. No one cares. Like, you're this great authority on things, but if they know that you actually care about them, then, you know what? You might have some insightful wisdom. And we do have the truth. Even if you're a new Christian, there's some things you should know. Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. We should at least know that. So that's, at very least, you know how to talk to a person about salvation if they have those questions. Philippians 2 and verse 4, it says, don't merely look out for the interest of your own. Look out for the interest of others. Wouldn't that be someone who allows a person to talk and we're listening to them? James 2 and verse 15 and 16, it says, if you see a brother in need and you say, go in peace and be filled, what good is it? So if I go to Hermes, a lot of times I'll do, hey Hermes, how you doing? What's he supposed to say? What are you supposed to say, Hermes? Good, 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 how you doing? Hey Lindsay, hey, how's it going? Good, good. Okay, everyone's good. We all know that. Or, hey, what's up? Hey, you know, me and Jordan are cool enough, we can just go like that. Yeah. What are we doing when we say, hey, how's it going? We're just being polite, but we're actually saying, hey, how is it going? Have you ever broken those words down? Or, hey, what is up? Or, hey, how are you doing today? But we do this in such a passive way, and it's part of our society. It's what we do. But what would we actually do if a person said, I'm having a bad day? It's like, oh, you weren't supposed to say that. Like, I'm in a hurry. I was just asking how you're doing. You're supposed to say good and move on. No. Sometimes we have to just allow people. We got to listen to them. We need to talk to them. And listen, I'm probably just as bad as anybody else or just as good as anybody else. We're all busy. But I know I've tried to learn to be a person who takes the time and just listens to what's going on with that person. Let's see here. Yeah, what did I put down here? Oh, yeah, my outline. By the way, if you want my outline, you're more than welcome to have it. I did it yesterday, worked quite a while on it, but all I ask is that you don't make fun of me because my outlines are horrendous, but at least not to my face. But even if you're an introvert, if you're not this real outgoing person, that's completely fine. You can still ask a person how they're doing, right? So if you're in a conversation with someone, you can have this mindset or a persona about you or this vibe about you that, hey, they're going to listen to them. What did Job's friends do in Job chapter 2? He had lost everything. You guys know what they did? They sat in silence. Do you know how long? Good answer. You were right. I didn't know. 7 days. You should be teaching this class. Not only before that, they walk up. They didn't even notice Job. Job had lost everything. It says they started crying. They started ripping their clothes. And then they sat with him for 7 days. Like, that is some friends. And I can't remember in the context if Job was saying anything at that moment, but they just sat with it. Have you ever just sat with someone? Or at least have them know that you're just sitting there with them when something's going on. Have you ever done that? That's something we can do. Obviously, I'm sure they would have been attentive if he's saying it, but they just sat there with him. Just knowing that a person is there for you changes everything. So we need to be sometimes there just to listen. When people are struggling, that's when they start to view life in a different way, don't they? I learned this in high school. One of the few things I learned in high school is that when people get to a certain age, around 40 or so, 40, 50, that's when they start to become spiritually minded, at least about something. There's something that they start to think, all their wild oats have been sowed, baggage is all there. Now you start to think, what about life after life? That's when we have a great opportunity to engage with people and just kind of think soberly. Life comes at people and it can be very sober. That's when I believe we can, in those conversations, when someone's struggling with certain things, hey, well, do you go to services anywhere? Or do you go to church somewhere? Yeah, I've been looking for, why don't you come with me sometime? You know, and we can, I need to move on. I talk too much. But we can tell a person, just come and observe. Have you ever done that? One of the most scary things for a person is coming into a building, especially you're around other spiritual people. To them, they might be thinking, I don't have any business being here. I've had guys tell me that. That place will burn down if I walk in there. No, it won't. It's not going to burn down. You're not that kind of person. But it can be a scary thing for a visitor. One of the things that we can say to someone, a potential prospect or someone that's coming to visit, we say, hey, listen, nothing's going to be expected of you. Zero. Like, literally, they can just walk right in. You can sit with me and my wife if you'd like. You can sit wherever you want. Now, people will come over to you and ask you, hey, it's good, or ask you how you're doing. It's good to see you, all those different things. They might be an introverted person. You can kind of read the room with those type of people. And you watch on how much you ask. But having them, I lost my train of thought there. Oh, well. While I'm getting my train of thought, go ahead, Autumn. Right, right, and as long as we're living it too, we got to own that too. If we're putting something out there, that's something we got to own. Some people don't feel comfortable. I don't have Facebook. That's just not what I do. If you feel comfortable putting that particular thing out there, a lot of times people don't want to put something out there that someone's not going to address right there. So that's up to you. That's great. Put those out there if that's how you feel comfortable. One thing we got to do is own. We got to be able to, anything we put on Facebook, we better own it and say, that's how I'm living, because I'll tell you right now, people are watching us too. So if you're going to put something out there, hey, come to Brown Street for a gospel meeting or something, make sure you're living the type of life that people are like, hey, I want to go ahead and come there and visit. So some people don't feel comfortable putting out there. I'd probably not rather put something. I like to put things out in person. That's just how I am. I'm not a Facebook person anyways, but that's a great tool for you to do, and I'm sure you get some responses out of it. Go ahead, Paul. Or they're affiliated with it, yeah.
And I think the question that people want to know is, okay, if you go to this particular church, why do you go there? So my second thing that I tell people, I says, why go to the Brown Street Church of Christ? And my second statement is, you just go by the Bible. And that's I'm trying to get them people to know why we go there. We just go by the Bible, because they might go to a Baptist church, they might go to
correct.
They have their reasons for going there.
Correct.
If you can get in a conversation of why they go there,
then that changes everything.
You're getting a step in the door.
That is exactly right. If we just say, we preach the Bible, think about, you don't have to be embarrassed of anything. If you have a man-made creed, there's nothing to back it up except for the guys that wrote it, and they're uninspired. If you're doing things that aren't in the Scripture, you cannot have confidence. You can't have confidence. Don talks about it all the time. The instrumental, they can't have confidence in having instrumental music. And what if your like band is horrible and the people get there like, I don't like that band. They're horrible. That guy was off beat. I'm using that as an example. We have nothing to be embarrassed about. We have the truth. Why do we just sing a cappella? Because that's what it's told to do. We don't have to offer anything other than that. We just go strictly by the Bible. And that's so much. It's actually so much easier than having to figure out what's going to fit in with this person, because we've already changed it here. So what's going to fit in and draw that person in? It's so much easier to just to invite a person and understand, let them understand. We just go strictly by the Bible, Kelly.
And that was like the conversation you talked about with the girl at my work, that she was having. Yeah.
Right. It's not in the scripture. And then she asked, well, I said, well, we just call the Bible.
Right.
And she was very, you could tell that she wanted to kind of like.
Look at, right.
Well, I need to go back now and read. And I was telling her all things that weren't the Bible.
Yeah.
Catholics do. And then she wanted to go back and say, well, I need to go back and look now. Like, she wanted to kind of stop the conversation.
Well, and that's what.
Say, I want to go look at the Catholics.
Sure.
The Catholic, you know, religion from around the 600 or 500 AD. And she right. kind of wanted to stop and say, well, I need to go back and see what the Catholics say.
So, yes, not to cut you off, but I know where you're going. And I want Kelly just went ahead and stopped it. Sometimes you just stop a conversation, and that kind of goes into my next point. Well, I was dropping some things, some different things here. Some of the people we're going to, some of the most potential prospects as far as getting someone to come to service are people that are down on their luck. What did Jesus say in the parable of the feast? So what were some of the excuses? He bought land. I had to go check on it. I'm married, a wife. I got to go check on her. Hey, these are all legitimate reasons. These are all pretty important reasons. But what did he say then? Then go out where? Go out into the highways. Go out into the highways. Go get the poor. Go get the lame. The best potential for a prospect are people that are just struggling. People that have problems in their lives. And that's where, you know, getting to know another person, allowing the conversation to develop and let it go that way, you're going to find out more about other people. These are the type of people that are going to be more susceptible to the gospel. Some people don't want to talk religion. Have you ever had that? Some people don't want to talk about it. It's one of the two things you don't talk about, right? Politics and religion. Some people don't want to. Well, you don't have to. Can you talk about other things? I've mentioned before that, you know, I personally think Paul was a sports fan. I've said that before, just because he mentioned so much sports. I don't know. Maybe he knew about sport. He knew about tent making, right? Wasn't it Priscilla and Aquila? Weren't they tent makers? I think they were a tent maker. Somewhere in their conversation, they had to get to tents, right? There's other things that we can talk about. You got to learn to read the room. It's just like a guy and a trying to go up to probably a girl that he likes or whatever. You kind of read the room there. If you're talking to her and you, hey, why don't we go out sometime? And she's like, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe, I'm busy this week. Kind of say, hey, this person doesn't want to talk about this person doesn't want to date you or vice versa. It's the same exact thing with the person when it comes to religion. You got.
I think this is a nice set that she brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stuck something in. I mean, I could tell that she didn't want to, but it just doing that.
Yes, sowing the seed. Yeah, sow the seed. But you knew when to stop, and that was it. You knew when to, let's just back off a little bit. She doesn't want to talk. Let them go. That's fine. We're not going to do this maybe in one conversation. It might take years, but people can come back to you on those particular things. Talked about reading the room. You can tell when someone's not interested. I think of just when you're in a religious conversation with someone, and we're bringing these things up. If they don't want to talk about it, you think of that Yosemite Sam on the back of mud flaps, or the, you know, back off. That's what I think of anyways. You're never going to convert anyone by beating them over the head with the Bible, are we? By sitting there and telling them all their problems, or just, what did Jesus say in Revelation chapter 3? This was to the Laodiceans. They had some problems, but what was he doing? He was outside. He wasn't, boom, boom, I'm coming in, you know. He was just knocking. Behold, open the door. If you want me to come in, just open the door. That's what we can always be there for someone. And hey, I'm ready to listen to you. I'm ready to talk to you about these things. Some people don't want to talk until they're ready to just ask you a question. And it can lead. I got to put this somewhere else. And it can lead to other. It can lead to a great conversation. Another thing. Consider how we view or talk about sin. So when we're in a conversation with someone, we need to watch how we say particular things. People today have no idea that their sin is actually sin. A lot of them think it's normal. A lot of them think it's great. I've come across single dads or unmarried dads, and they think it's good, and it is. They're taking care of their child while they're living with a woman. And to them, they were never raised that way. To them, you know what? They are taking care of their kid. That they're not a deadbeat dad. They're doing something. But watch how we say things to that individual. We want to encourage things that are good. That's a great thing. The living together like you're married is not. But there's ways to go about that. Hey, you're just shacking up. That's not a right way to say something. Or this guy's an alcoholic, or he's just a drunk. You know, even when you're saying that to another person, they might have someone who's struggling, really struggling and trying to overcome alcohol, which, of course, that's sinful. You need to try to overcome these particular things. But we got to watch how we say things to people. And it's very easy to just kind of put them down in this way in which we feel superior to them. And I hate to use the phrase holier than thou, because we should be holier than other people. However, you know what I'm talking about. We don't want to come across that way. Notice what Jesus did not say to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. Number one, he commended her, because what did he say? He goes, go get your husband. What'd she say? I don't have a husband. He's like, you're right. You actually said that right. He commended her on that part. What did he not say? And he goes, and the one you're with now is not your husband. So, number one, she had five husbands. I don't know if I would have married her either. If they all died, I'm going to die. I'll be number six that's going to die. But here she was living with this individual, basically. But did he bring it out right then? Did he? In fact, in the whole text, he doesn't bring that part out. He allowed the conversation to drift to something else. You know, maybe a guy who's living with a girl and they're taking care of their kid, he's not going to stop tonight. You know what I mean? Maybe let's talk about something else. Maybe inviting him to services. Maybe you can get on the conversation of why you don't believe that's right. I've had to do that. Never encourage a sin. Never encourage sin. But I've been told by guys that I've known, and they're like, hey, guess what, dude? I'm going to be a dad. Have you ever had someone do that? I'm going to be a dad. Except for they're not married to the woman. And I said, listen, I'll tell you. I said, I can't congratulate you. However, I hope that woman is healthy. I hope that baby's healthy. And I hope everything goes well with them. But I can't congratulate you, because I believe what the Bible says about, you know, premarital sex and between a husband and wife. And I've actually had the people say, you know what? Her mom feels the same way, dude. I totally get it. I didn't have to hammer them on certain things. What does it do? It kind of sows a seed. I'm not saying I'm the greatest, but it put me in an uncomfortable position right then. I'm thinking, how do I get out of this? But I don't want to violate my conscience and go against. I don't want to encourage sin. So there's ways that people can respect you by saying the correct thing if they know that you really care and you're convinced of what you're. And you don't have to turn everything away. I hope everything goes good with that baby. I hope that woman's healthy. You never know. And you know what? I might pray for her. How about that? How about that? I'll actually pray for her. There's things that we can do without addressing that, without saying, oh, boy. You know what? I'm probably going to end up, I think Steve said in a couple weeks, Don's going to be gone again. So maybe Steve will let me finish this. I'm only halfway through. This is crazy. Okay, if you guys don't mind. So I'll finish this up. It's going to ring here in a minute. But I want to finish, at least try to get this point. The Areopagus, what did Paul say to those when he saw the idols? Number one, he was upset. He's like, oh. But he didn't let it show. They led him to the Areopagus because they wanted to hear what he had to say. What did he do? You bunch of idol worshipers. Like, those things are fake. If we today would say made in China. But these things were all fake. What did he not do? Or what did he commend them on? You're very superstitious people, I believe King James says. You're very religious people. Commend a person where you can commend a person. What does James say about the those that believe? You're doing well. You believe, you're doing well. The demons believe and they shudder. Is that the second bell? Okay. Listen. I'm going to just have to remember where I picked up. Hopefully Steve will let me in a few weeks finish this off. I will know now that it's only a page and a half gets me through a class instead of three and a half. That other one's just a whole sermon. I have a few more things to talk about and some things to consider. So I thank you for your time.